And welcome back into Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are broadcasting live from the Omni Nashville Hotel inside of Kitchen Notes. It's great to have you in on this Friday. Nick Kale and Derek Mason with you. Braden off to Birmingham for a weekend wedding. We will certainly get Josh's thoughts on that and all things Vols related as he joins us every Friday here on the show. Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville. Good morning, Josh. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great to be with you guys.
Good to have you in. Obviously, sad news we'll begin with, the passing of legendary Vols broadcaster John Ward. You obviously are very connected to the Vols and Knoxville in general. Just how big of a loss is this for the volunteer community when you have a voice of over three decades that passes away?
Yeah, you have multiple generations that are connected to John Ward in that they would, growing up, watching Tennessee football or Tennessee basketball would turn the TV down and the radio up. I'm sure you guys have heard that. But also, you know, so many people that he was literally the eyes and ears of what was going on because we didn't always have TV on our phones and games available anytime we want, anywhere we want. It was much more difficult to find a lot of games that were on TV. So you had to rely on John Ward, and he did such a spectacular job of painting the picture. So I think today so many people, when they think back to their favorite Tennessee plays, their favorite moments, whether it's a Jeff Powell run in the Sugar Bowl or a Johnny Jones run in 1983 against Alabama or plays during a terrific run in the 1990s, if you see the play, a lot of Tennessee fans probably can then start to recite what John Ward said. Or on the flip side, if you're listening to the radio this week and you hear those famous John Ward calls, then in your mind you can see the play again unfold because of the way that John Ward so beautifully described it. He was right up there at the top among the best all-time broadcasters, and he's missed by a lot of people.
Now looking at the Vols, and off the heels of the NBA draft, obviously Tennessee, everyone chose to, I believe, return back to a team that was really good last year that found themselves in a position to challenge for the SEC championship. Looking at this team moving forward, I know they announced Wednesday that they signed a 6'8 forward, Burns, out of Rock Hill, South Carolina. How does this team look moving forward during the season? Is this going to be another team that Coach Barnes had last year where they competed and competed at a high level and could be the favorites, not just to win the SEC championship, but can be a contender for a Final Four and possibly a NCAA championship?
Yeah, I think that's the expectation for Tennessee this year. That's going to be, well, all of that, I think, will be goals for Tennessee's basketball team when they hit the floor this fall. I think they were goals this past year, and Tennessee was able to accomplish a lot more than most expected. Now I think this year more people will talk about that with Tennessee going in. I think with the preseason polls, you'll see Tennessee somewhere in that top 5 to top 10 mix. And think about what a difference a year makes. Last year, Tennessee was picked 13th in the SEC. So now Tennessee could be a top 10 team nationally. But it is because so many players are coming back. The only rotational player that Tennessee has to replace from last season is James Daniel, who did a nice job off the bench, but he is replaceable. And then I think at the guard position where he was coming off the bench, it's more about the progress that Jordan Bone, Jordan Bowden, and Lamonte Turner, three guys who played bigger roles than Daniel last year anyway, what they can do. But a lot of it is Admiral Schofield's coming back. He is a guy that tested the NBA waters, went through the draft process with really the full expectation that he would return, and he's doing that. And last year, I thought Schofield made a big leap to be the player that he was on the wing. He can defend multiple positions. If that can continue, if he can continue to develop his offensive game, and then Grant Williams, who was an SEC Player of the Year, if he continues to expand his offensive game as well, if he can add more range to his jump shot, there's still room to grow for key players on a team that shared an SEC title. That's why I think expectations will be really high for Tennessee this year. Now, with those expectations going up, Tennessee will have to be ready to one, take on a really good schedule, really challenging schedule, both non-conference and what Tennessee will face in the SEC, but also recognize that last year there wasn't much attention paid to Tennessee. This year, every team is going to notice when Tennessee's on the schedule, so it's a different kind of challenge, and can they recreate that chemistry that was, I think, pretty special last year? I think they have a really good chance to do that. More competition within the roster. Derek Walker's a year older. DJ Burns, as you mentioned, he signed to come in and try to play right away. So there's a lot to put together, but Rick Barnes has a lot of pieces to try to do that.
Josh Ward, WNML Knoxville, joining us here on Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yesterday, Josh, Braden and I were getting into a discussion, and we got into a debate about where Jeremy Pruitt slots in, because Athlon Sports ranked their SEC coaches from 1 to 14, and also all of their coaches 1 to 130, and Pruitt came in 13th out of 14 in the SEC, and I believe 94th overall in the country. I want to get your thoughts on both of those rankings, both locally within the conference and then on a grand stage.
Yeah, you know, I think it's really difficult when you're talking about a guy that is about to become a head coach for the first time. It's, of course, projection that you're trying to put in there when you haven't seen him coach a game yet. And I think a lot of times, especially in the SEC where you do have quality programs and expectations are really high for a lot of these schools, that you start to think, okay, well, what should they be? And Jeremy Pruitt should be a good head coach because he's at Tennessee. You would think that. But then you start to look around the conference. Well, Dan Mullen's obviously more proven. So they're the obvious names you're going to go with: Mullen, Malzahn, obviously Saban's at the top, Kirby Smart with what he did a year ago. You know, but think about 2 years ago, where would you have put Kirby Smart? Well, you didn't know where he would have been. I think maybe there's probably like the Will Muschamp factor. Will Muschamp was a guy that did get hired at Florida with the expectation as a first-year coach that he would have success, and it didn't work out to the level that people thought that it would at Florida. So that's probably caused more caution. So you get to Kirby Smart and say, okay, prove it. And he has, so he makes a big jump. I think if Tennessee's able to be a 6-win team or so this year, if they go 5-7, I don't think it's a big deal. But if Tennessee's 6-6 or 7-5, certainly if they're better, then next year when rankings come out, you'll see Jeremy Pruitt make a jump. And then if he's able to win at an even higher level, then he can get into the mix with the best coaches. But I think right now, I think it's fair to keep Jeremy Pruitt probably lower. Now, you can also have it from a number of different conversations. If you want to just rank, I would probably take all Power 5 coaches that are doing it for the first time and have them lower than guys that have done it and have done something to succeed, not just guys that have coached games and lost them, but guys that have won something. So, yeah, Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State, I'd probably have him a little bit lower because while he's been, I think, a really good offense coordinator and has had success as a head coach at Fordham, this is a different level, so I'd have him near the back. I'd have Chad Morris probably near the back because he's been a head coach, but this is a different level at Arkansas. And then you have guys that need to do more, Matt Luke at Ole Miss, Derek Mason at Vanderbilt. But if you were, let's say you were to draft coaches, well, then I think that's more based on potential. I say that coming off the NBA draft last night. But if you were to say, okay, which coach would you just hire? Well, that's projecting forward, not counting as much what they've done to this point. So I think if you're just ranking them, and a lot of that's going to be resume, I think it's natural to have the guys that haven't done it yet near the back.
All right, Josh, last question before we get you out of here. Braden is off today. I feel like he's on his fifth wedding in the last 5 weeks. How many weddings is too many weddings to attend in one wedding season?
That's a good question. I've been in that position where you start to get 4, 5, 6, and you're like, man, when's the last time we were home? Because we've got a wedding to get to in town, or we've got to travel, and then you start to look at the travel budget. Like, well, actually, our vacation this year is wedding season. But I'm in the position, you know, we have a 4-month-old at home, so we just had our son a few months ago. We're more in the baby season, so we go to baby showers. We don't go to wedding showers right
okay.
now. We have a couple of weddings on the books for next year, so I think we're excited about the fact that we're going to dive back into it. So I'm kind of like I'm the coach that sits out, you know, and he goes on TV for a year, and he recharges the battery, and then he wants to jump back into it. So if you'd asked me a couple of years ago, I was probably getting burned out, and I would have said, oh, man, that five's too many. But now I'm sitting out, so I'm excited to jump back in next year.
So you're getting the itch for wedding, huh? You're getting the itch for a wedding again.
Yeah, you know, in fact, we had some really good friends that got married, just a couple weeks after Owen is our son, after he was born, and it was an 8 or 9 hour trip. It would have been a car ride, and as you guys know, taking Owen wasn't really going to happen on that trip, so we missed the wedding. So I think part of that's too, we missed out. So yeah, we're like the coach. We see our buddies in the championship game. We want to dive back in.
Josh, good stuff, man. We appreciate the time as always. Have a good weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys.
You got it. Josh Ward, WNML in Knoxville, joins us every Friday at 6:30 on Morning Drive.